It is time now for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy, of course, joins us every Thursday morning. Judy not only is the author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and Journal of a Duck Midwife. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning, good morning. And thank you for that clarification about that news item. Interesting.
Yeah, but really, you know, this. I have to be diplomatic, but, you know, this is what editors are supposed to do. And I can probably calculate how the mistake was made. I just realized it when Marshall was talking. But even so, you know, this is people's lives. And
exactly.
It's just really, you know. So, with that being...
And they can haunt you for decades. That's right.
Right. And exactly. I mean, through no fault of your own. And, you know, fishing the misinformation, you know, in 3 weeks when someone does a search in Sharon and it comes up because the internet literally is forever, you know, just...
Well, I must say, Jill, in a sense, it ties in not exactly to what I wanted to talk about today, but I was thinking of that sometimes I wrote to you about people who will deny that they are eating in a way that may cause them medical problems because they're avoiding the foods that they should be eating and eating the wrong kinds of foods, and they deny that they're doing this, or because they have food aversions or negative, so you know, memories or associations with certain kind of food, they avoid whole categories of foods which really should nourish them. And I must say that, you know, in my years of working, doing weight loss counseling, you know, I would always ask people, you know, what do you eat and what do you tend to avoid? And people would always give, you know, the answer that they thought would impress the, you know, a relative who was a dietitian, you know, oh, you know, I eat my 5 servings of vegetables a day and 3 servings of fruit, and I always have dairy products which don't have any fat in them, and I only eat lean meat, and I never, of course, ever eat a French fry or a donut. And I think, oh, yeah, you know, of course they're not eating that way, otherwise they wouldn't be sitting in front of me needing to lose weight and maybe, you know, looking as if they didn't nourish themselves very well. But it occurred to me that they sometimes people weren't... lying, to put a blunt term on it. They weren't lying to me. I think now in retrospect, and that's why I sort of a mea culpa, in retrospect, they probably were denying to themselves that they were not eating well. That they just simply did not want to admit that for the last 2 weeks they never ate a vegetable, or that they put cream in their coffee and lots of sugar rather than perhaps fat, low-fat milk and a non-calorie sweetener, or that they've been drinking soda with sugar, or that they've been eating big, you know, large portions of dessert every day. It could be that they really did not want to see what was in front of them. The same way, and this is a term, this is a psychiatric term, the same way that if you are confronted with a really dreadful personal catastrophic situation, it could be someone in your family sick, it could even be a death, that your body uses this defense mechanism called denial to not really confront the problem, because at some point early on you can't deal with it, and so you say, well, no, it didn't really happen, or it's not really going to be that bad, or I don't really have a terminal disease, or you know, this is going to be all worked out. Your body, your brain, refuses to accept the reality of what happened until you are able to deal with it somehow from a psychiatric standpoint, psychological standpoint. And I'm thinking to myself that maybe people really don't recognize the fact that they're not eating well because, to some extent, they just feel helpless or even hopeless about doing so. I mean, you know, you hear about people who say, well, I'm addicted to chocolate. Yeah, sometimes it's a joke, but sometimes it's really something that people can't help. You know, they see chocolate and they eat it to excess. Or I'm sure that I really ate vegetables, but they know they haven't. They know they really don't want to, and they can't accept that they can't eat properly, and so they deny to themselves that they're eating badly. And what came to mind was that we, you know, have a relative who was overweight, and I know from past experience, dining experiences, always pick the wrong kinds of food. You know, if you were going to Thanksgiving dinner, he would not touch a vegetable. You know, he would put too much butter on his rolls, or he would, you know, have two helpings of dessert, or, you know, maybe he even might consume too much alcohol. And then one day, he became sick. And he was diabetic, and he had issues with his heart, etc. And his doctor said, okay, now it's time for a change. You've got to eat more. You've got to eat properly. And he started to do so. He lost a lot of weight. His health improved. And he said, when we saw him at the Thanksgiving dinner after that, I was denying to myself how badly I was eating. And I really did not feel capable of making any kind of change. When I got the wake-up call from my doctor, then I felt I had to, because it was my life on the line. And the other sort of part of that is the fact that there are many people who, for reasons that may go back to their childhood, avoid eating foods which really are important to nourish them, really important to give them the nutrients they need. And I think about a frequent guest at our home for meals who never ate a vegetable. It didn't really matter what I ate, what I made. It could be any vegetable in the vegetable kingdom. This guy would never touch, even taste it. And I would sort of tempt him and say, oh, you know, why don't you try this? I tried a new recipe. No. And I really wonder whether he ever ate any vegetables and how he was getting the vitamins and the fiber and the other nutrients that are in vegetables. And I have a friend who looks like she's anorexic, but she's not anorexic. She's extremely thin because when she was a child, her grandmother forced her to clean everything on her plate. And if she didn't, she would have it for breakfast the next day. And she swore that when she became an adult, no one was ever going to tell her what to eat. She ended up eating very little, just as a way of showing her now dead grandmother, see, I'm leaving food on my plate. And she would eat tiny portions. And again, it was this food aversion or food avoidance that really, she had developed osteoporosis. She had no muscle mass and never ate enough calcium. The point is, she had avoidant behavior because of psychological history, not because, you know, she didn't particularly like a particular kind of food. And that also had an impact on her eating, an impact on her health. And so when people go to a new dietitian, nutritionist, weight loss meeting, you know, when Weight Watchers and what have you, these issues are never raised. I mean, I never thought of them myself. Yet they really should be. Why are you eating this way? Well, I'm not eating this way. Oh, yes, you are. Well, okay, let's examine this. Let's examine why you are pretending that you're eating well when you really are not. Why are you avoiding these foods that you should be eating and you're not? And look at the effect this is having on your weight, on your health, on your longevity, etc. These issues should be discussed, and this may, by bringing them up, have an impact on getting people to eat better.
Yeah, it's an issue, and the other thing is, distortion is an amazing thing, and the brain is an amazing thing, and we're going to run out of time, unfortunately, but we should probably pick this up, because I have actually sat with people who have told me that they're not doing what they're doing. At the table, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Denial, right?
But it's not. It's a little more complex. It's a little more complex.
But denial said, yeah. But let us continue to talk about it, because I think it's something that really bears discussion. And I hope that Marshall can weigh in on it as well. We'll talk next time on Thanksgiving. So.
Thank you very much.
Have a good week, and look forward to talking to you. Okay.
Right, Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy Food for Mood every Thursday here on Robin Hood Radio, and find her at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand Food for Mood with Judy Wertman, and also the serotoninpowerdiet.com.